Even as these words say that we would shout to people that you are the God of creation, that you are the God, the Lord Most High. Lord, I pray that we would be sent and that we'd be willing to go wherever you send us. And Lord, I pray that you would teach your people and instruct us in the way that we should go. God, thank you for the encouragement of Acts chapter 9. I'm just anticipating great things in this message because it's a wonderful story of how you can change the most hardened sinner and redeem him for your purposes. God, we find ourselves in that story as well. Once your enemies, now redeemed and sent out for a purpose. God, so teach us and instruct us in how we ought to live. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, everyone. Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 9 today. Acts chapter 9. We'll be looking at the first 19 verses as Luke continues his account of the early church. We're going to look at the conversion of Saul, whose name is later changed to Paul. So from time to time, I'll inadvertently refer to him as Paul and or Saul at any time, so be aware of that distinction. So verse 1 of Acts chapter 9 today. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight. At the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. May the Lord add his blessing at the hearing and the reading of his word this morning. Years ago, at my first church that I was a pastor, I had an elder who was a part of our church. His name was Pete Talbot. Pete was a fantastic guy. He was a vice president of a small manufacturing company in southern Michigan. And he had told me about one of his employees who had gotten very ill, became very, very sick to the point of death. And he was going to go visit his employee in the hospital. And he asked me, "You know, Brad, do you have anything I could take with me to give to this man and maybe share the gospel with him?" And I said, Well, here, Pete, take one of these. It's Peace with God. It's got Bible verses in it, and it describes how a person can give their life to Christ. And so he took this to the hospital with them, and he shared the gospel with this man who was really on his deathbed. And by God's grace, the man received Christ as his Savior. And within a week or so, the man passed away. And Pete contacted me. He says, you know, the family doesn't really have a church background or a pastor, and they've asked me to do the funeral. What do I do? You know, he wasn't in the clergy. He wasn't a clergyman. He had no idea what he was supposed to do. And I said, well, I'll walk you through it, Pete, and I'll give you the framework on how to do a funeral. And tell you what, I'll even go with you. I'll be there with you, and I'll sit in the back, and I'll be there for support. He says, well, do you have any more of those little booklets? Because I want to make those available to anybody who would be coming, you know, to the funeral. I said, sure, I'll bring a whole mess of them for you. So sure enough, the day of the funeral arrives. And the thing you have to understand about Pete is probably the most soft-spoken, humble man I know. I mean, he kind of talks like this and doesn't really gesticulate much. He's not really Mr. Excitement, okay? He's just very, very stable, very, you know, steady, great guy. And so we hear the gallery starting to fill up, and it's almost full. And right before the service starts, a large group of pretty rowdy people kind of came in the back, and there's no place to sit. You know, where the rest of the family and friends are sitting up for the funeral in the regular seating. And so these people, this loud bunch who are kind of rude and loud, they end up sitting in the plush chairs and the you know, the couches that are kind of in the back of the parlor, okay? And they're loud, they're obnoxious. You know, this big guy, this one guy, he's really crass, you know, joking about the new adult bookstore that just went in cold water, and, you know, I'm going to stop there on the way home after this. You know, he's just really disgusting guy, okay? And as I'm sitting there, and I know here's Pete, mild-mannered Pete, who's going to share the gospel, you know, and here are these rowdy people, and this one guy in particular, I'm thinking to myself, Lord, how is it possible that any of these people would ever come to Christ? And I was really perplexed.